Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen R., Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I can hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, we come to lift up and exalt the wonderful name of Jesus on today. And we have another glorious lesson for you that you will be tremendously, tremendously blessed thereby. And our lesson is, oh, give thanks for the church. Our thanks for the church. We're giving thanks unto God for the church. On today, I'm going to invite you to expeditiously just go with me as we get right into the lesson on this morning. And we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verses 1 through 10. And that's going to read on this wise. Paul and Silas and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became follower of us and of our Lord, giving and having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For you found out the words of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's words is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show us of us what manner of entering in we have unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verses number 2 to 3, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and our Father. Let us take a look further at our lesson on today. The church at Thessalonica came about a three Sabbath revival by the Apostle Paul and his evangelistic team of Silas and Timothy on the second missionary journey. And you can find that in A.D. 48 through 49, which was led at the synagogues of the Jews, and it was held there. Now, the city of Thessalonica held a unique place in the Greek history. The New Testament records an incident in Acts chapter 17 in which the people of Thessalonica wanted to try Paul and Silas because of their perceived heresy, for they had turned the city upside down, Acts chapter 17 and 6. The people wanted to bring them before the parliamentarians or the ruler of the city. Now, the rare Greek word does not appear in their literature. It appeared only twice in the Word of God, in verse 6 and verse 8 of Acts chapter 17. Now, interestingly, as late as in 1890, an ark that once stood at the western end of the main street in Salonika, called the Vartar Gate, bore a number of inscriptions and contained this same word. Today, that ark is in the British Museum. Now, the book of Thessalonians was written by the Apostle Paul about A.D. 51 and is addressed to the Gentile Christians. The usage of the Greek form of his colleague's name, Silvanus or Silas, Timotheus or Timothy, give credence to this. This letter was written about 20 years after our Lord's ascension, and it is particularly noted for its excellent writing on the resurrection of the dead, some verses of which are commonly used for this day to many funerals of believers. And you can see First Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 13 through 18. Now, First Thessalonians is one of the first books written in the New Testament. Thessalonian church was an emplary church. Many people have heard the statement, if you have ever find the perfect church, please don't join it. If you do, it won't be perfect anymore. Now, though churches are full of imperfect people, still there are positive points to remember about every church. We are all are human beings saved by the grace of God, and we all have to strive and press for the mark of a high calling in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:14. However, some churches hit closer to the mark than others. So Thessalonica was a great church that was worthy of emulation. Now, the apostle thanks the people at least three times in this epistle for the way they responded to his ministry and to the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 2, chapter number 2, verse 13, also 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 9. Now, it's not every church receives such a positive commendation. Now, 1 Thessalonians is a book of thanksgiving. Now, let's take a look further at this. The prayers of thanksgiving for the church. And let's see what's taking place there. Now, Silvanus and Timotheus are Greek forms for the name of Silas and Timothy, which shows in the influence of the Hellenistic culture. On the advice of Aristotle, Alexander the Great started a movement to spread the Greek language and the culture to the Mediterranean world. This was known as the Hellenists. And the King James Version in Acts chapter 6, verses number 1, in Acts chapter 9, verse 29. Teaching is a powerful tool, and the ancient Hebrew language gave way to the Greek language because of the widespread teaching. Now, because of this Hellenistic influence, scholars translated the Old Testament into a Greek version, and which is called the Septuagint. Now, the teaching is today still a powerful tool. Now, Silvanus is a Greek form of an Aramaic name of Shigla. And this Latin word, Silvana, which means wood, and from where Silas is derived or revealed that he was a Hellenistic Jew. He was apparently a Roman citizen and was Paul's companion during Paul's time in Philippi, in the Philippian jail. Acts chapter 16, verses 19 through 29. Now, Peter described him as a faithful brother, 1 Peter 5 and 12. Now, Timotheus, the Greek term for Timothy, was a convert of Paul. He was half Jew and half Greek. You'll see that over in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. We know that his mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois, were great Christians over in 2 Timothy 1 through 5, and 5. Timothy lived in Lystra and was converted under Paul's visit there. Because of Timothy's high profile with the Apostle Paul, Paul circumcised Timothy, and you'll see that in Acts chapter 16 and 3. Now, according to Paul's teaching on this subject, it was not necessary for Timothy to be circumcised, but apparently it was a voluntarily act on the part of Timothy. Paul was not circumcised. Titus, however, because some of the early Christian leaders at that time was trying to make circumcision an act of salvation. And you can read that over in Second Book of Galatians, chapter number 2, verses 3 through 4. Now, we must recognize that it's also noteworthy to consider the name of Paul and Saul. Now, Saul was Paul's Jewish name, like the name of the first king of Israel. However, following his conversion, Paul commonly identified himself with the Hellenistic upbringing by using his Greek name, Paul. It was no wonder he seemed to prefer the name Paul after becoming a Christian. It seemed to reflect his total change from Judaism to Christianity. Now, let us look further. Now, both Timothy and Silas accompanied the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey when he founded the church at Thessalonica, Acts chapter 17. That Paul included Saul and Timothy in his salutation showed the importance of the place on a teamwork, that the kingdom of God is not a one-man show. And we must recognize that God has fashioned it so that we all are able to be a part of the body. And I want to stop there for just a moment and just begin to highlight the fact that, yes, Paul recognized that he couldn't do this thing all by himself. He needed other parts of the body or other people to help him to accomplish the work and the will of the Lord. And such as it is for us as children of God, we must recognize, too, that we cannot do this by ourselves, because God has fashioned it so that we would not do it by ourselves. We need each and every one. The musician needs the congregation to sing the songs along with them. The usher need the people to be able to usher them around. Every facet of the body of Christ is fashioned so that every joint will supply unto each other joint. And so it's key and vital for us to recognize that we're not in this thing by ourselves, of ourselves, and just for ourselves, but it is all for the common purpose to propel the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in whatever vineyard that God have you in, whatever assembly that God have you in, and things. It is all for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 to 14 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Now, let's continue on a continuing prayer. Now, the Apostle Paul advocated praying with importunity, that is, continue to pray until the answer come. And you'll see 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18. It is important to continue praying, to continue rejoicing, and to continue giving thanks in all things, because this is truly the will of God. Now, prayer is much like eating. A person could have enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner in 1967, but the world would not keep him from starving today. Now, both are activities that only find their practical usefulness in daily application. Now, let's look at prayer for God and for all. Clearly, the Apostle Paul practiced systematic prayer for the Christians of Thessalonica. However, it is important and vital for prayer for all believers, both to offer it and to receive the effect of it. Every believer, every church faces innumerable challenges in living for Jesus Christ. But the power of prayer is a strengthening, sustaining force. Except the Lord have ordained and sustained the believer in Thessalonica, the church would never be and had succeeded. As with all churches and believers, it took the grace of God to sustain them. But Paul did not just pray for the wonderful Christians of Thessalonica. He also prayed for his enemies and remembered those who he had caused them much trouble. Now, let's look further. A prayer of thanksgiving. Now, Paul was grateful for Thessalonians believers, for they had received and assisted him, and they had sent Paul and Silas onto Berea by night, Acts chapter 17, verse 10. Apparently, Timothy escaped scrutiny by the authorities of Thessalonica, and he was able to stay behind. Thanks be to God. He worked through his people. God always desired to use people to perform his will. Moreover, he has ordained that the gospel came through the hand of mankind. Perhaps Paul remembered his own conversion when God told him, "Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do," Acts 9 and 6. God had prepared Ananias to pray for Paul and to help him. When the Spirit of Jesus Christ stopped Paul at Damascus Road and spoke to him from heaven, he did not tell Paul or Saul the plan of salvation. He sent him into the city where he would receive the plan of salvation from God's people. It is still true today. We are his spokesman and the channel through which his message of salvation shall be delivered and given. Now, let's look at another area of thanksgiving, the prayer of thanksgiving for their works. Remembrance of the works of faith. The works of faith is a unique combination of words. Some people would like for us to believe that there is absolutely nothing we are to do to be saved. It is certainly true that we can't do nothing to redeem ourselves of effect. Our own salvation. However, we must act on our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith emanates an understanding of what God has commanded us to do. For instance, God has commanded us to repent of our sin. We must repent of our sin or we will perish, Luke 1:13, 3-5. We must obey God by faith, for faith without works is dead, James 2:20. Though we are not saved by our own human works, still faith requires obedience in order to receive the promised salvation experience. We must also remember the remembrance of labor of love. Now, the labor of love is love in action. A person can say that he loves God, but if he does not act upon his word, he revealed that he does not really love God. A Christian active expression of love serves as a spiritual thermometer of his passion for the things of God. Does he love to give of his time and his finances to the work of God? Is he loyal to their local assembly? Does he esteem highly his pastor, her pastor, and spiritual leaders? The Thessalonians obviously really loved the apostle and risked their own lives to see that he was protected and cared for, that the word of God flourished in Thessalonica. Much can be said about faithful men and women who give of themselves to help establish a church and keep it growing in their cities. Now, let's look a little further, the remembrance of patience of hope. Now, one thing that is necessary for establishing a church is patience. There is no microwave process for building the church. There is generally a time factor involved, just as a plant and tree require time to grow. There is no way to rush the process. God established time, and time necessitate patience. Waiting is one of the most difficult of human exercises, but we must cultivate patience and learn the value of waiting. We would like to speak our desires and watch them happen immediately, but we are not God. Only God can speak and cause immediate results. We humans are locked into this mechanism called time until we reach heaven and eternity. Only then will there be no time no longer, Revelation 10 and verse 6. The Thessalonians kept the faith through their patient board of hope. They were determined to see the birth and growth of the New Testament church in Thessalonica, and express great patience in the face of adversity and seemingly hopeless situation. Paul was aware of their patience, and he commended them for it. Now, the remembrance of oversight of God. It is interesting that Paul observed the Thessalonians' work of faith, their labor of love and patience of hope, and he summed up all of these as being in the sight of God, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. In other words, God sees all we do in his name and for the cause of the kingdom. Sometimes Christians may feel that their labors are unnoticed or unrewarded. And we must recognize, even though you have not received the reward, it does not mean that God is not going to reward you for what you've done. But nothing could be further from the truth. Our reward does not always come in this life, but it can be certain that we will continue, and evidently, for nothing will escape his careful attention, and God will reward his people for his faith, their faithfulness. We also, in prayer, the prayer of thanksgiving for them personally, a beloved brethren elect of God. The brethren of Thessalonians were dearly loved and beloved both by Apostle Paul and by God. How great it is to be loved of God. Moreover, he loved us enough to give us an opportunity to receive salvation through individual choice. This choice involved what some writers of the scriptures, especially Paul, call election. There are those who believe that election involved God's predestinating individual to be saved or, by contrast, lost. However, this idea completely annuls the choice for free will of mankind taught in the scripture. Moreover, this ideal is unfounded in all of the scripture. Augustine first taught the doctrine of unconditional election, and it was accepted as a doctrine in the canon of the Council of Orange in AD 529. Now, it lost momentum and was rejected by most believers until it was revived by John Calvin and later by John Knox. John Wesley followed the doctrine Jacobson, who stressed free was will in opposition of the Calvinistic predestination. Now, God did not predestine individual either to be saved or lost. He endowed mankind with a free will. And I think we need to recognize that it's a free will and thing. We freely give our hearts and our mind unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free will mindset that God has given every individual. Some will reject him, and some will say it will not even take all of that. But that's the will that in our own mind he's given unto individual. However, God has predestined a body, the church, to be saved. Jesus Christ will have a church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail and prevent it and prevail against it. You'll see that over in Matthew 16 and 18. The only salvation available to individual is through the church. Only by being born again, a person can become a member of the body of Jesus Christ through his church and find the assurance of eternal life. Now, let's highlight that, and I want to bring to the forefront of our mind, anyone can be a member of a church and their name written on the roll. but to be a member of the body of Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you must be born again. Now, the church is called in Scripture the elect or the election. God has elected to have a church, and nothing can prevent that from happening. Paul's reference to God's election of the Thessalonians refers to their acceptance of the gospel, which brought them salvation and placed them in the predestinated body of Jesus Christ, bound for eternity with God. Now, let's look at another aspect. Receive words with power and assurance. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ was not just a priest sermon. It was a message of power in the Holy Ghost. Word without anointing of the Spirit of God are simply that, just word. But the Lord backed up words of truth with power and action. The beginning of a born-again experience is a life-changing to a child of God and a new born-again Christian. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians about the manner of men we were among you for your sake, he referred to his action among them during the revival at Thessalonia. In 3 weeks, these people were changed by the lifestyle preaching and teaching of Paul's evangelistic team. A Christian lifestyle is not just a one-time event or experience. The Thessalonians saw the power of God exhibited through the preaching of the Word of God, and it brought much assurance to their heart. When a person knows that God has done something powerful in their life, no one can persuade them differently or separate them from it. His assurance or her assurance of him caused him to say boldly, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor thing present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And you'll find that over in Romans 8, verse number 38 to 39. And so we must recognize that as the word of God is being spread abroad in things and even throughout the book of Thessalonians, especially the first book of Thessalonians, is a book of thanksgiving. And so as we begin to look and bring closure unto this particular lesson, we recognize and understand that we must, as Paul, as he even began his second missionary journey with Silas, later the trip with Timothy, who joined him, God showed Paul in a vision of men inviting them to Macedonia. So his first stop in Macedonia was at Philippi. And there he was jailed for preaching the gospel, but he and Silas received a miraculous deliverance. The second stop was in Thessalonians at the synagogues of the Jews, and they were just three Sabbaths when trouble broke out in the city, and the people of the city believed that they were the ones that turned the city upside down and came also to Thessalonia. Now, consequently, the unbelieving Jews round up evil people around the marketplace and started a riot that got the attention of the city official. And we see that Paul and Silas, they left that night after the official had sought them at the house of Jason, a new convert. Timothy stayed in Thessalonia and assisted in the new work. And so the letter of Thessalonia, it is one of the first New Testament letters, and it was probably written 3 to 6 months after the founding of the church in the city. Its subject is first thanksgiving for their continued faith in God, and it concluded with the message of Jesus Christ going to soon return. And so as it is, as I was going to say, it's vital and it's key for us as children of God is to continue to lift up the wonderful and the matchless name of Jesus and also continue to keep in our heart, mind, and soul a spirit of thanksgiving as we give God the praise in things, not because of what we're going through, but giving the praise in what we're going through. And that's how God will sustain us and keep us and fortify us. And so I admonish you, let us thank our God for the church that he's given unto us, that we can come and find a place where we can lift up our hands and praise him and give him the praise, glory, and honor. And so in my conclusion, I wanted to say I'm so grateful that you were here with me today, and I pray that you have been blessed and fortified and strengthened. And always remember, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. Hold fast and hold on to God's unchanging hand, because he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry, and he will bless you in a mighty and a special way. And so if you can, call me, write me, send me a text, or send out also an email, and let me know how this has blessed you and how it has impacted your life. Always remember that Jesus loves you, and so do I. And remember always, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. May God richly bless you, is my prayer. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.